When storms of life are raging, and I look all around me, I see the crashing billows, and I am afraid. But when I look at Jesus and cry to Him for mercy, His outstretched hand reminds me He's the master of the waves. When He is my joy is unspeakable. When He is my strength, I can do all things. When He is my peace, it passes understanding. When Jesus is my song, I always have a reason to sing.
Often I am tempted to seek for contentment in temporary pleasures this world offers today.
But when I look at Jesus, again I am reminded the peace and joy He gives me, they will never pass away. When He is my joy is unspeakable. When He is my strength, I can do all things. When He is my peace, it passes understanding. When Jesus is my song, I always have a reason to sing. Friends may fail and trials come, circumstances change. Jesus is the only one who is always the same. When He is my joy is unspeakable. When He is my strength, I can do all things. When He is understanding. When Jesus is my song, I always have a reason to sing. When Jesus is my song, I always have a reason to sing. He
Amen. What a good morning it has been. I've enjoyed the fellowship. I've enjoyed the preaching. What a blessing. It's a blessing to meet Brother Bevins and to hear him preach. I appreciate that message. I'm encouraged by Jacob's life to know that God used him in what an amazing way. I appreciate the preaching and I appreciate the work of the message. Brother Ogden, what a blessing to hear you preach, and I just enjoyed seeing again the work that the Lord is doing through He and His people there in Texas, and I appreciate that good message. That was well done. I want to mention a couple of books. Dr. Jorgensen is here, and I'm glad he was able to come again to the conference this year and be here through tomorrow night. If you don't have this book entitled, Should I? Bible Answers to Questions of Personal Separation. all of this preaching about grace today that dismisses personal separation is an expression of their ignorance of the Scripture. Because the same grace that brought us a salvation teaches us to deny the ungodliness of the world and live a separated life. He deals with that in a very specific way. You won't read it and say, I wonder what he meant there. You will understand exactly what he meant. If you're a pastor, you can get one free if you'll go by the table. And if you're not, I encourage you to get this book, this great book. He used as a textbook at the college at Commonwealth Baptist, and we're glad that he does, and we promote it. He has reprinted Dr. Evans' book, Some Thoughts on American History. He has those. And then I want to mention that just for the sake of the bus ministry, whether you buy the book or not, if you don't have the book on church growth through the bus ministry, somehow we got the idea you build a church on middle class and people with money. The poor is God's favorite people. And he said, if you'll take care of them, I'll take care of you. And you go back and study the history of the churches that we refer to as great churches of the past generation. They loved the poor and they loved the bus ministry. Thank God for them, and I encourage you to stay in the bus ministry. Open your Bibles this morning to John chapter 11. I want to say thank you to Brother Angel and the Faith Baptist Church. I appreciate so much of this church in many ways. I am so glad that this church has not followed the drift and the left and looking for a bunch of new things, because they still believe the things of the Word of God still work, and I appreciate that. And Brother Angel, and of course, I love Brother Coral, and I just thank God for the fact that he and I were able to become friends in 1990 when I went to the first Revival Fires Conference, and I love him and support him and encourage others to do the same. I am so glad. Do you know how much time and effort and work it takes to write the books that he has penned? And I want to tell you, it is an education in itself to read Brother Coral's books. They are tremendous. I tell young preachers when they're looking for material to help them in preaching, I said, just get Brother Coral's books and you'll always preach the Word of God and you'll learn something as you preach and as you study, and I appreciate that. John chapter 11, if you'll stand with me, I'm going to preach a message this morning from this chapter that I have found to be such an encouraging chapter in my own life in recent years. John 11, verse number 1, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his hair, his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Hold your place there as we'll look at several verses in the chapter throughout the message this morning as I preach, responding to the confusions of life and faith. Responding to the confusions of life and faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's been a joy to sit under the preaching of your word this morning. And Lord, it has been a joy to fellowship with your people. And Lord, I pray now as we close the morning service that you would meet with us in a way that we'll know that you have dealt with us this morning. And I pause to pray before I preach, not because it is a requirement. I pause to pray not because it is a habit. But Lord, I need you as I preach today, and I yield my life to you the best way I know how, and ask that, Lord, that you would help me to be an encouragement and a blessing as these other men of God have been this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. John chapter 11 and the resurrection of Lazarus is one of the most, if not the most known story of the New Testament miracles. We know the story. In fact, many sermons have been preached. I've preached many sermons. In fact, many songs have been written, maybe more gospel songs about Lazarus and raising from the grave. It's a familiar story. We take from the story that Jesus is never late. He's always on time. We understand that. And when they thought it was too late, it's never too late. And that's the truth, and that's the message to preach, and that's what we learn in this passage of Scripture. And, of course, Jesus wasn't late as He raised Lazarus from the grave, and what a miracle it was. But if you look at the process of the story, you'll find that there were many confusions. There were many misunderstandings as this story took place. And this story deals with the very best of people, the very best of Christians, of course, the Lord Jesus and His disciples. And then we have Mary, and we have Martha, and we have Lazarus. For example, Lazarus is sick, and Mary and Martha, they send for Jesus to come to Lazarus. Now, Jesus had visited the home of strangers. Certainly, Jesus would visit the home of a friend. I believe that Mary and Martha full well believed when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, He would come and heal him. I believe that they had confidence that Jesus would come. I believe they were very surprised that He didn't come. I believe they may have been disappointed. They may have been like the lady in my church a few months ago that said, "Pastor, I was in the hospital and you didn't visit me." I said, "I didn't know you were in the hospital." She said, "I put it on Facebook." I said, "Well, I don't read that every morning. I'm sorry, I missed that." But she fully expected that I would be there. I believe, and the Bible says that Jesus loved Mary, and Jesus loved Martha, and Jesus loved Lazarus, and He was their friend. I believe it was a disappointment that He didn't come. And so we find a disappointment. And then the Bible says, Jesus says that this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Now think with me, if you will, the disciples hear Him say that. And imagine if, and as you read the story, this is what they thought. They thought, "Well, I sure am glad He's not going to die. And I'm glad this sickness is not unto death. Because I'm glad because of Mary and Martha, and I know that we know that Jesus loves them, and I'm glad that this sickness is not unto death." Maybe one of them said, you know, they may have been exaggerating a little bit. They just want Jesus to come visit them. All they knew was Jesus said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God." Then the next thing that happens, that's interesting, Jesus says to His disciples, after delaying 2 days, He said, "Let's go to Judea." Judea. "Lord," they said, "why would we go to Judea? The last time we were there, they wanted to kill you. Now, they need you in Bethany, and I would understand if you wanted to go to Bethany and visit Lazarus that's sick. But why would you want to go to Judea?" Notice what the Bible says here in verse number 6. "When He had heard, therefore, He was sick, He abode 2 days still in the same place where He was. Then after that, He said to His disciples, 'Let us go into Judea again.' His disciples said to Him, 'Master, the Jews of late sought to stone Thee, and goest Thou thither again?'" Why would you go to Judea? You have a request to come to Bethany. We'd understand if you went there, but why would you go to Judea? Then we go on in the story, and we find Jesus makes a statement. He said, "Fellas, I'm going to go to Judea, I'm going to go to Bethany, and I'm going to wake Lazarus up because Lazarus is asleep." Notice what they said. Verse number 12. "Then said His disciples, 'Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well.'" Now, Jesus, Lazarus is sick, and when you get sick, you go to the doctor, and the doctor says you need plenty of fluids and plenty of rest, and Lazarus is sleeping, and we're glad to hear that, and he'll get better, but it sure don't make any sense why you'd go wake him up while he's asleep. And their reasoning, And they're saying, why would Jesus go wake up Lazarus? I mean, if he sleepeth, he'll do well. I mean, he'll get over the flu or whatever it is. I mean, and then Jesus says, he's not asleep, he's dead. Now, wait a minute. You said a while ago, this sickness is not unto death. Then you said he's asleep. Then you said he's dead. I'm confused. Now, you got to love Thomas. You got to love Thomas, verse number 17. Verse number 16. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. If Jesus is going to go get himself killed, I think we owe it to him to go with him and just die with him, don't you? Now, these guys are confused. Are they not? I mean, and in fact, I'm a little confused with them reading this, thinking, boy, I'm telling you what, it seems like everything Jesus said turned out opposite of what I thought he said. And everything I think he should do, he didn't do. And everything I think he shouldn't do, he does. You ever feel like that in life and ministry and faith and serving God? You ever feel like you have everything worked out and nothing turned out the way you thought it would? Brother Howell said to me one day, he said, do you enjoy prophecy? I said, some. He said, I got 100 prophecy sermons, I'll sell you cheap. I said, why is that? He said, nothing turned out the way I preached it was going to turn out. Sometimes we come to the place in life, in ministry. Now we're not talking about unsaved people. We're not talking about backslidden people. We're talking about folks that eventually gave their lives to serve Jesus. And they find themselves confused. Sometimes sickness comes and we don't understand how or why that would happen. We deal with many folks of all kinds, and we find folks that, I mean, we have bailed them out of jail to get them to go to church and feed them to get to go to church, and I mean, they've been in 47 car wrecks and all they've got is two or three bruises. And then you got a man of God that's sick and you wonder, Lord, I don't understand what you're doing. Sometimes living by faith is confusing. Now, I want to say this morning, the purpose of the message is to say you and I need to keep following Him by faith, whether we understand or not what God is doing. Several years ago, our church ran out of room. For 20 years, our church grew 100 a year, and we went from 18 to 2,000, and we had gone to multiple services, and we had gone from having classes everywhere and two or three times, and all the while I'm looking for land, I'm looking for a building, I'm looking for something, and all of a sudden it seemed like I can't find an answer anywhere. And I think I find an answer, and I work on it 6 months, and it's a dead-end road. I come to church, and I say, boy, folks, I'm excited. I found this piece of property, and I have to go back a month later and say, well, it didn't work out. I mean, I went on like that for years. 2 years ago, I found a piece of property that had, 20 acres and a beautiful building, but that building had not been finished on the inside. When I was here this time last year, we were getting ready to purchase that property because it was going through foreclosure court. I was so excited. I had pictures of it. I'd been inside it. And what was better than that, I had a man that had already called the banker and had already said, I'll pay for most of that building. I was so excited. I was just waiting for it all to happen. They kept delaying the foreclosure court, and the banker would say, well, 1st of June it's going to happen, no question. And then he'd say, well, maybe the 2nd or 3rd day of June, and come to think of it, it may be the 3rd of July, and then he said August, and finally they came to the day that they were having the foreclosure court. We had submitted a bid to purchase the building. We had a large amount of the money that was already raised, and we were excited about the foreclosure. I was going to preach in Washington State, And when I got on the plane in Lexington to go to Atlanta, if there's any evidence of a purgatory, Atlanta Airport would be the only evidence I would know. But I was going there, and I couldn't wait to land, couldn't wait to get the service so I could text even as we were coming in and figure out what's going on and to see if the property sold. And so I get into Atlanta, and I find out the property did sell. They did sell at foreclosure court. Man, I was so excited. But there's one other thing you need to know. There was another bid came in, $100,000 more than yours, and the property is already sold. I said, but wait a minute. He said that he wouldn't let that happen. And then they called for my flight. And I'm thinking, all of the work, all the preparation, we've all been there, haven't we? I get on the airplane. I'm flying to Washington State. It's about a 3.5-hour flight. I'm trying not to be discouraged. I'm trying to remember all of those sermons of encouragement I'd preached to my people and have faith in God. The honest truth is I had the thought, if I could jump out the window, I would. The lady came and she said, would you like something to drink? And I thought about that. And so I get to Washington State, and preacher picks me up. Brother Fugit, it's so good to see you. We've been looking forward to you coming. We've worked hard for the meeting. We're going to have a good crowd. How are you doing? I said, I'm doing great. It was about like a Merry Christmas from Walmart on the 23rd of December by the checkout person who says, Merry Christmas. And throws your bag at you, you know. I'd spend a lot of work and time and money. We eat a meal. I go to the motel room. I said, Lord, I've preached tonight. I sure need you to help me. I don't understand what's going on. All of those same thoughts we all have. Lord, are you finished with me? Do you want me to do something else? If I made a mistake, where did I mess up? And I got a telephone call. And my phone rang. It was a number I didn't recognize. And I do answer my phone, but I sure didn't want to. I didn't recognize the number. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I answered the phone. This Pastor Fugit, the fellow said, I'm a real estate agent, and I know you folks have been trying to buy a piece of property on the other side of town, and I don't know if that worked out or not, but I've got a piece of property that may be available. I said, well, that didn't work out, and I thought, this is not going to work out either. I've looked at other property. I said, what do you have? And he said, well, we've got about 80 acres, and it's on your side of town. He said, you know where Brandon Road is? I said, I know where Brandon Road is. He said, how familiar are you with Brandon Road? I said, I live on it. He said, do you know? And he gave me the number. I said, yes, I know it's 1,000 feet from my house. That piece of property, that farm right there, is for sale. Now, I'll not tell you all the story, but within 30 days, we had a contract on the property. We own it now. We're getting ready to break ground. But I will tell you, I didn't do a thing to work it out. I mean, we own 25 acres at the college, and I've had everybody there. I've had the city councilman there. I said, you see this property right here? Yes, boy, it's beautiful, Reverend. And I said, you know, we ought to be able to build on this. You sure should. I said, but there's a law in Lexington that says a church, school, or parish cannot enlarge more than 10,000 square feet in this zone. What do you think about that? I think that's wrong. I think you ought to be able to build. That's why I need your help. Oh, yeah, you got it. You got it. I talked to every council member. I talked to the dog catcher. I talked to the cat catcher. I talked to the congressman, talked to the senator, talked to the governor. I talked to everybody. I showed them all, and they all agreed, yep, you ought to be able to build on that, and I'll help you. I'll do everything I can. You know who helped with 80 acres? Nobody. I don't even know who to ask to come to the ribbon cutting. Lord, I don't even know. You want to tear it apart, you can cut it, because I didn't have anything to do with it. Now, the answer to life and ministry is not to figure it out, but to follow every day by faith. Now the story doesn't end. I want to show you something. Jesus does come into town. And if you look in verse number 21, you'll find that the Bible says in verse 21, Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. It's hard to get Jesus to do what you tell him to do these days. Then she says, but I know, I have those two words underlined, I know, that's the first lie she told right there. She didn't know, the disciples didn't know, nobody knew anything. But she declared, I know, that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know. Smart, isn't she? Now she tells Jesus the doctrine of the resurrection. Notice what she says. I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am, not I will be. Jesus never was or will be. He always is I am. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord. And she teaches him yet another doctrine that she knows. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. She doesn't get it. She says she knows, but she doesn't know. And when she had so said, she went her way. Now, if you read the next few verses, you'll find that she goes to the house where Mary is, and Mary is there with mourners. And she does not announce it out loud, but she whispers to Mary, and she tells Mary, Jesus is here, and he wants to see you. Now, the reason, one of the evidence we know that she did not say it publicly is because Mary gets up, she goes out of the house, and the mourners say she's going back to the grave where Lazarus is to mourn the death of Lazarus, and they follow her, but they didn't know that she wasn't going to the grave. She was going to meet Jesus. Now, I want you to notice what happens in verse number 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, and I want you to notice these words here, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Compare those words, if you will, to verse number 21, where the Bible says, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Those words are the same, but there is a vast difference in what they are saying and how they're saying it. Let me show you what it is. In verse 21, Martha says to Jesus' face, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Mary says, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother Lazarus had not died. Notice what the Bible says next. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, Where have you laid him? Hey, business is about to pick up in town. Now, let me tell you something. There are far too many of us at times of confusion, at times when things don't work out as we had planned, and as we went to the prayer closet and told God what to do, and when he didn't do what we told him to do, we said, Lord, if you'd have just done what I said, this wouldn't have happened. And then there's a crowd that when they entered to the prayer closet, they didn't enter to command God. They entered to yield to his will. You see, ministry is not about what I can do for God. Ministry is about what God could do with me yielded to him. And there's a vast difference in approaching the face of the Lord Jesus and instructing Him and approaching the feet of the Lord Jesus and saying, Lord, there was a yieldedness, there was a brokenness, there was a contrite spirit. And may I say to us this morning, you and I cannot get frustrated at the confusions. I'll tell you, I can't figure it out. I can't understand it. I've been preaching 32 years. I just finished 32 years. And I still don't know what's going to happen next year. I don't know how God's going to do what He's going to do. But my Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Strength for today is mine all the way. All I can do is follow Him. I won't ever come to the place that I tell Him He made a mistake by not listening to me. I want to yield to Him and tell Him what the feelings of my heart is. But with a broken heart, with a sincere heart, with a yielded heart, a heart of faith, saying, Lord, I don't understand, but I'm still with You. I can't explain this. I don't know what to say to my people, but Lord, I know You know. Go to Isaiah 57 with me. If you've heard me preach 10 times, you probably heard me reference this verse right here, but I love it with all of my heart. Isaiah 57, in verse number 15, the Bible talks about how great and big and vast and powerful and amazing our God is. The Bible says, "For thus saith the high and lofty One that inhabiteth eternity." I can say that, you can hear it, but we can't comprehend it. Eternity is bigger than our mind. It's bigger than our imagination. But God inhabits eternity. I don't know what He's going to do tomorrow, but I know He's already there. I said, I don't know what He's going to do tomorrow, but He does. He's already there. He inhabits eternity. And the Bible says, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place. Oh, but wait a minute. There's not a period there. There's a comma there. He said, with Him also that is of a contrite and a humble spirit, I dwell in eternity, but also dwell with a broken-hearted, the yielded, the surrendered one, a sovereignty that leaves and comes to humanity. Eternity leaves and comes to time. And God says, I'll dwell with those that have a contrite spirit. May I say, don't get mad at God today. Don't get frustrated at God today. Don't quit because you don't understand. The disciples didn't understand everything they heard. They misunderstood everything that He said. He said, "This sickness is not unto death." Well, I'm sure glad to hear that. I know He loved him. I'm glad He's not going to die. "I'm going to the Judea." Why would you go there? They're trying to kill you over there. "I'm going to go wake Lazarus up. He's asleep." Why would you do that? He needs to sleep. Well, he's not asleep. He's dead. But I thought you said he wasn't going to die. Lord, I don't understand. And I can't stand here today and tell you I understand everything in this book and understand everything about God. But I do understand this. He is in control and He lets me serve Him. And if I'll just yield to Him each day, oh, listen to me. God knows the way. I don't want to live in frustration. I want to live in faith. That He's not finished. Notice what the Bible says. Verse 38. "Jesus therefore, again groaning in Himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone." Martha. "The sister of him that was dead saith unto Him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. He's been dead 4 days. This thing's already messed up. You've got us in a mess and you're going to make it worse. Don't do that, fellas. Don't do that. Don't take the stone away." I hate that I resemble that sometimes. "Oh, Lord, don't do that. Oh, no, not that way. But, Lord, did you know?" How foolish we are as servants, as subjects, such a worm as I, to instruct the Creator. "Don't do that. Don't take the stone away." God works in ways we don't always understand. Can I tell you, when God told Abraham to offer Isaac as a sacrifice, it wasn't Isaac that God wanted. He wanted to know if he still had Abraham. I don't know why he does what he does and how. I don't know, but I know I must trust him. They rolled the stone away. Jesus said, "Now, Father, I've already prayed, but I'm going to say it out loud so these folks can hear it and believe. Lazarus, come forth." And everybody's standing around. And had he not called him by name, everybody in the graveyard had been up walking around. Lazarus is alive. He's out of the grave. And everybody's saying, "Oh my, can you imagine what Martha, how she's feeling?" By the way, let me say this. Sometimes members get frustrated at the pastor because the pastor appears to know what he's doing, and then 2 months later, things didn't work out the way he thought it would, and things change, and they say you can't trust the pastor. He's always changing his mind. Now, the truth is, he didn't know everything God's doing, and we don't. Don't get mad at the preacher as we follow him by faith. I'm not talking about making foolish decisions of loans, and I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about sometimes we have ideas of what God's going to do great, and he doesn't do it that way. You know, Samuel, when he went down to the house of Jesse to anoint the next king, nobody knew why he was there. He had told God, he said, "If I tell them I'm coming to anoint a king, they'll kill me." He said, "Just go down to make a sacrifice." But he knew why he was there. And when he saw Eliab, you know what he said when he saw Eliab? "Surely the Lord's anointed is before me. I know this is the will of God." And God said, "No, Samuel, that's not the right one." "Oh, really? No, that's not the right one. You're looking to see how big he is. I'm looking on the heart." "Oh, okay, God." "Lord, why'd you make me look like a fool and tell those people that?" "Jesse, do you have any more sons?" "Well, yeah, I have one more boy is out taking care of the sheep." "Call him." You see, things don't work out the way we thought. I'm not talking about bad people. I'm talking about folks like you and I that are following him every day. Sometimes they're confused. You know who the winners are? Those that say, "I don't really understand everything, but I know I'm going to keep following him. And I'm going to keep doing what God called me to do. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to get mad. I'm not going to get frustrated. I'm not going to command God. I'm going to stay at his feet. I'm going to keep serving him." That's not all. Let me show you one more. Look at verse 45. "Then many of the Jews which came to Mary." Now, we read the scripture and there were folks that came to both Mary and Martha. But here the Bible says, "Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which the Lord did, believed on him." Mary's testimony of faith in God encouraged others who followed him to believe in him. Let me ask you a question. Where are those people with Martha? I don't know. But the Bible says Mary. Now before it says Mary and Martha. Here it says that many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Now I want to tell you something. I don't understand how everything works and all of the changes in life and society and culture and all of that, but I'm just going to keep doing what Jesus said to do. I went to South Florida to preach, and preacher picked me up. We were riding to the motel, and he said to me, he said, "Brother Fugit, you know, soul winning just doesn't work here anymore." We rode a mile or two down the road. He said, "Brother Fugit, did you hear what I said?" I said, "I heard you." He So, well, soul winning just doesn't work here anymore. Did you hear me? I said, yeah, I heard you. I heard you both times. You got a question? He said, well, do you have any response? I said, it doesn't matter if it works or not. It's what we're supposed to do. He said, well, how do you do it when... I said, I don't know. You just do it. But it just doesn't work like it. Brother Fugit, this ain't like Kentucky. I said, I don't know what to tell you. Just what Jesus said to do. Amen. So he left, looking for a town that, you know, a town that believed in soul winning. Looking for a city of sinners that couldn't wait for a soul winner to get to town. So he left. He's still looking, by the way. Another preacher comes, takes his place. He called me. He said, Brother Fugit, you're scheduled to be here. Would you come? I said, I will. We get in the car. We're driving to the motel. He said, you know, it's the most amazing thing. He said, I don't know anything. I grew up on a bus route, got saved through the bus ministry. All I know is soul winning. He said, it's the strangest thing. He said, I can go soul winning. I go soul winning 3 or 4 or 5 hours, and I'll have maybe 1 or 2 or 3 saved, and I'll have 8 or 10 promised to come. They don't come. But every week, visitors just show up to church. And our church is it's growing, and I really can't say it's what I'm doing. I'm not really my... He said, I just keep doing it. I said, well, God bless his obedience. You see, when we figure things out, we write books about it. God didn't win 2 battles alike in the Old Testament. The only thing that was the same about all the battles, somebody had to put faith in God. Faith doesn't always see. Faith doesn't always understand. Faith just follows. And so I say today, have faith in God. Regardless, have faith in God. Second of all, don't be discouraged or quit when you're confused. Don't be discouraged and don't quit when you're confused. Third of all, don't change because it hadn't turned out the way you thought it should. You don't need to change your music. That's not the problem. You don't need to change your soul winning. That's not the problem. You don't need to drop your standards. That's not the problem. You don't need to change the appearance of the church, make it look like a nightclub to get them to come. You don't have to do that. You don't have to start finding new books, new people to follow, fellows who understand it today. Just have faith in God. But I can't explain it. The disciples couldn't either. Mary couldn't either. Martha couldn't either, but Lazarus came out of the grave. And those who followed Mary believed. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us today to understand that there will be and are many times of confusion. If we would think of who we are, Lord, the more we know and the more victories we gain, the more pride we have. And Lord, you know us so well that we just can't know much except to follow you day by day. And I pray that today you'd help us to never approach your face and say, if you'd just do what I say, but each morning we would approach your feet and say, Lord, please, just work in my life. I pray that you'd help us today to continue in faith. I ask you to stand this morning as the musician plays. If there's need for you to use the altar this morning, as you've heard 3 messages today, this morning, God's spoken to your heart. You may be in Bible college and things, they've not worked out the way you thought they would. Don't get discouraged because you're confused. Just have faith in God. Martha approached his face and walked away disappointed. Mary approached his feet and Jesus said, where have you laid him? Great big difference in tears and frustration. Great big difference in anger and yieldedness. But preacher, I don't understand. I'm sorry. I wish I could explain it to you, but I don't understand either. Preacher, can you tell me why? I wish I could, but I can't. But I know this. God loves you. God's in control. He doesn't work for me. I work for Him. Have faith in God. Weather the storm. Weather the storm. Don't get frustrated. Don't get mad. You say, but I'm confused. That's all right. That's all right. Have faith in God. Have faith in God.
Please don't step over anybody. We have time. Hearts are tender. Message like that reaches out and touches a lot of hearts. A lot of folk, life has been a little bit confusing. Wasn't supposed to end that way, be that way. More than one preacher in this room has visited a grave. A wife or a child. It wasn't supposed to happen. I'm sure glad He knows the way through the wilderness. Stay at His feet.
What a morning, huh?
Amen.
Amen. Just keep walking by faith, the obedience of faith.
Yes.
It's never been my faith that's confused me. It's always my sight. Amen. What we see sometimes conflicts with what we thought was going to happen, but God's still in control. And I thought about the messages, you know. Need to keep walking by faith when everything contradicts your faith. Because when you don't know, God knows. And there's always a silver lining. He knows what He's doing. When He gets done removing the dross, He's going to do something wonderful. And what a wonderful morning.